forevermore. No matter what tomorrow brings, Lord, we can trust that you are on the throne. Take this word, Lord. This is your word. It's already anointed. Lord, use me. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can grab a seat. I have a title tonight. It'd be Fear Not. And the way the Lord usually works with me when Pastor asks me to preach or I know I'm going to preach, I'm not one of those people that can study for 2 to 3 weeks out. I'm usually last minute. The Lord will lay something. I mean, I'll try to study and I'll try to get something together. And a lot of times it's very last minute before the Lord drops something on me. But this week, the Lord began to deal with me. Talking about fear, but it began early this week and I began to take down notes. But one thing that we could say and sum up the headlines this past week is one word is fear. Right, church? It's been a rough week, amen? It's been a crazy week, something we haven't ever seen before. This coronavirus has spread and has gotten people whipped up into a frenzy. If you just listen to the news and went by what they're telling us, then we should run to the hills and run somewhere off because we're doomed. Because of this, the stock market has looked like a roller coaster at Silver Dollar City. Amen? All over the place all week, working at Walmart. I work with some people that have been there 40 years plus, and so they keep a pretty good eye on the stock, some people in my office. And even Thursday was the worst day since 1987. The stock market was so bad, it lost so much. But even the stock market is so crazy that on Friday, when President Trump began to speak, and a couple of the guys that sat next to me had it on their computers, the president's speech, and of course the Walmart's CEO, Doug McMillon, began to speak. And we watched literally the Walmart stock right after he got through speaking went from $1.04 to $1.16 within 10 minutes. That's crazy stuff. If you don't know anything about the stock market, it's been going crazy up and down. Tell me, and that's what happened just at work watching that. There's a fear in the world today, right now. Who would have thought that the world would go crazy over toilet paper? Last Sunday night when we left here and began, who thought the week would bring that? But here we are in a crisis. We was at the neighborhood market in Bentonville Thursday night. Christine and I stopped in there, and it was crazy. Usually about 7 o'clock at night, that place is not very full. But as we walked in, there was a guy coming out of a shopping cart full of water and Gatorade and another shopping cart. And I pointed out to her, as you walk in, you know, they have the hand sanitizers in the wastebasket, and the wastebasket was overflowing from the hand sanitizer wipes. And it was a five-minute wait just to go through the self-checkout. It was already building. By Saturday evening, last night, we was at the one in Rogers at Pleasant Grove. There was no eggs, no toilet paper, no laundry soap. It looked like locusts had come through, and you know, when they come through and just eat all the crops. And I happened to be back. I go to Walmart way too much. But we was there Sunday afternoon today to get my mom a birthday cake, and again, nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, tuna was gone. That's desperate. We was looking for some tuna for Christina. That's cat food in a can, but you can't even, when you can't find tuna, you know we're in trouble. But church, the world's in a chaos right now. Fear is real, though. We feel it, we face it, and we live with it. Amen? So what do we do about it? What do we do about fear? First of all, we're humans, and we're going to feel it. If you don't feel fear at some point in your life, then check your pulse, right? Sometime in your life, you felt fear. And maybe you're feeling fear right now, and it's okay because we're human. The disciples were just like you and I tonight, church. They weren't no superheroes. They were just like you and I, just a bunch of men that God, that Jesus had called to. They still had everyday fear. They were people just like you and I. They weren't a bunch of superheroes that Jesus got together and decided to save the world. But actually, they were outcasts. And they were people that nobody would have picked except for Jesus. They were just regular folks. And they had fears. And on this particular event in Mark that we read, the disciples were out on the lake in the boat with Jesus. And even though they knew Jesus and he was in the boat with them, they still faced real fears. Amen? They still faced real fears because they were real. They were human. It was dark and there was no headlights on the boat back then like today. You know, we got boats that have headlights and you can see and you can go out after dark. There was nothing out there to have any lights to see by. It was pitch black darkness. There's a reason why kids and even adults are afraid of the dark. Anybody afraid of the dark tonight? You don't have to raise your hand. Nobody can see it tonight. But kids are afraid of the dark, right? Maybe you are. You can't see things like you can see in the daylight. You go out and you step outside in the dark and you see something in the shadows and it can get really creepy or spooky because you can't identify it. And when you're out in the middle of a boat and the storm begins to turmoil and begins to come on you, you begin to get frightened. It's a human nature. Things look different in the darkness. The wind started to blow. How many likes the wind to blow? You know, I can handle thunder and I can handle lightning, but when I see the wind begin to blow the chimes, and we've got a swing. And man, that thing will start swinging. When it starts swinging back and forth, I know to go out and check the weather. I don't like the wind to blow. It's kind of spooky. But the wind began to start to blow, causing the waves to rise and crashing into the boat. Then the boat began to fill with water. Can you see the disciples' concern and their fear taking place? I don't know about you, but there's a difference between watching the waves on the shore break in than being in the boat and seeing the waves coming in the boat. Amen? I've been to the beach several times, and it's awesome to see the waves come in. But it's a different story when you're in the boat and the waves are coming in on you and the boat's beginning to fill with water. It doesn't take a scientist to figure out that the boat's going to sink pretty soon if it's filling up with water. And that's what were happening with these disciples. They were facing the fear. Fear, yes. Panic, yes. Put yourself there tonight, church. You would be fearful. The boat's going to sink. It doesn't take much knowledge, like I said, to know that a boat holding water is not going to last very long. All around there was fear. Fear in their eyes. What to do? All around them, fear was in full force. Terror, anxiety, fright, worry. All these things fear begins to give birth to. And we begin to wonder. These disciples were just like you and I. How would they survive this storm? You see, fear focuses on the right now. The right now, that's where fear focuses in on. The disciples had been around Jesus and his ministry. They had seen him feed the 5,000. They had seen him heal people. And here they were in this boat, and this storm came up, but it was the right now when the fear began to grip. They knew who Jesus was, or they were beginning to learn who he was. And here they were fearful. He was still in the boat. How the situation now was desperate. The now situation was out of control. And this is exactly what fear does. It makes you focus on the right now. It makes you forget about what God has done in the past, how he has healed you, how he has saved you, how he has pulled you out of a situation. And right now it begins to focus on the moment and what is staring down at you and begins to grip you. So fear shows up and causes us to be afraid. I said it a while ago, but it gives birth to worry and doubt and anxiety and panic. Is our world panicking right now? Yes. Do we have anxiety? Yes. Stress, fright, horror. All these things are synonyms of fear and begins to take place when fear comes to town. And like a disease, fear spreads quickly and fast. One person gets afraid and it spreads to another person. Again, example, check out Walmart and all Harps and all the other stores this week. Exactly what Satan loves to do is make us fearful. How many times does he strike fear in the lives of mighty men and women in the Bible? Let's look at an example tonight. First one comes to mind is the prophet Elijah. If there's a hall of fame in the book, in the Old Testament, or in all the Bible, Elijah's got to be up there. If there's a Mount Rushmore, he's got to be up there, amen? In the top five. This man was a prophet of God. He was on fire. He called down fire, and he had a showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. Do you remember the story? He called them out. And not only did he have a great victory, but he got to trash talk them on the way. That's what I love about it. He began to mock them because he knew that their gods, the God of Baal, couldn't do what our God did and can do. And God showed up that day, and Elijah had a great victory, and he was on top of the world. And all the people saw this, and they turned their hearts to the Lord that day. But just a few days later, what happened? Fear came to town. Jezebel showed up. She reared her ugly head, and she put a threat on Elijah's life. And here was this man of God who could call down fire and who performed all these miracles and destroyed these prophets of Baal. Suddenly, began to run for his life because Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. Fear. If anybody could have stood up to fear, it would have been Elijah. But instead, he turned and he ran the other way. Fear can grip us just like that, and we can forget what God has done and what he will do. Elijah quickly forgot that God had provided a miracle on Mount Carmel. Instead, he took and he ran. He even wanted to take his own life and give up. It's real easy to run and hide in our homes and worry and fret. If we turn on the TV and we see it, we turn our phones on and we look on the social media feeds, it's real easy to be scared and frightened tonight, church. But we need to realize that our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's real easy to run and go and grab all the toilet paper and all the Lysol and all the things in Walmart. It's exactly what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to panic, he wants us to fear, and he wants us to worry. He wants us to be in that place. But church, tonight we have a choice. You see, the disciples were terrified. Let's go back to them tonight. They were terrified. It was a real situation. The boat was going to sink. They had a choice. They could sit there and they could panic and they could begin to try to bail water out of the boat, or they could begin to throw things off of the boat to try to make it float, or they could even throw each other off the boat, or they could have jumped off and tried to swim. But instead, you know what they did? They went to get the master. There's a song that the Brother Chris and Brother Larry sing, Awoke the Master, I think is the name. I don't know the exact name of it, but I love it when they sing it. They had a choice. They could have sat there and could have panicked, or they could have went down and they could have woke up Jesus. And that's exactly what they did tonight, church. Someone needs to make a choice tonight to go get Jesus. He's in the boat with us tonight, church. He hasn't forsaken us. In a world that is full panic mode right now, we need to go get Jesus. Amen. We need to go get him. He's not hiding anywhere, but he's right here tonight. He's in our hearts. He's in the church. And the church just isn't in this building, but it's when we go to work tomorrow and we go to out in the public. What are we going to do? Are we going to continue with the fear? Or are we going to show people the Jesus in us, that Jesus lives in us, and Jesus is the light in this dark world? Right now, it's a perfect storm. We don't fear because we have the master in the boat with us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God hath not given us the spirit of what? Fear. But it power and love and a sound mind. Church, now's not the time to be afraid. Now's not the time to be scared. But now's the time to put our trust in Jesus. Amen. And let the Lord take care of us. He's given us power and love and a sound mind. Right now, church, it's time for the church to let the light shine. When we go to work tomorrow again, we need to let the light shine. We need to be smart, like Pastor said this morning. We need to be diligent. And we need to be focused, and we just don't need to stick our hands in the sand and blow it off. We need to be smart, but at the same time, we need not to let fear control us. When we go to work tomorrow, we need to be the light into the darkness. When those coworkers around us begin to panic and begin to get worried, we can speak peace into them. You know, one of the biggest regrets was back when 9/11 happened. I wasn't serving the Lord. And when it happened, and people in my office, in the same office I work in, began to worry and fret. And one person even said, what are we going to do? And I didn't have an answer for him. I didn't, because I was far from the Lord. And that haunts me to this day that I missed an opportunity that I could have said, you know what? I don't know what's going to happen, but I know whom I can trust. In church tomorrow, we may not know what happens tomorrow. We didn't know what was going to happen this past week. But if we know whom we know, whom we believe in Jesus, he'll take care of us no matter what happens. We can speak that peace into people. We go to the grocery store and we see people carrying out tons of water and tons of wipes and tons of tuna, whatever it is. We can speak peace into them and say, you know what? It's okay. I'm not going to panic. Wherever we go in public, we can speak peace. We can show that we don't bow down to this spirit of fear that has gripped our world. If we allow fear to cultivate in our lives, it will cause us to be chained and we'll become its slave tonight, church. Fear can grip us. And I'm not up here saying that I don't fear anything because I do. I have teenage girls that drive. I fear. Every time. I worry tonight. McKenna had to take a shift real quick before work, and she was going to get off before church, and she ended up having to stay later. And so I thought she's going to get to come with us, and then she had to go home, and her being not with us, being on the road, I feel that fear. And if you're a parent, you know that feeling. So I'm not saying, I'm not making fun of it. It's real. But if we allow it to cultivate in our lives, if we begin to allow it to control us, we'll become its slave, and it'll chain us. But church, we know one who defeated that 2,000 years ago. It's Jesus. Amen. We don't have to fear tonight. We're no longer a slave to fear. I love that song as well. No longer a slave to fear. Tonight, church, in closing, aren't you glad I'm a short preacher in statue and when I preach? The Lord is our shepherd. Amen. I appreciate Chris for playing that song this morning. How the Holy Spirit moves and knows just what we need. Amen. Let me read to you. I know you know this. Psalms chapter 23, verse 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Aren't you glad tonight, church? He's our shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Church, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't need to worry about toilet paper. He'll take care of me. Amen. Whatever my need is, he'll take care of me, no matter what it is, because he's the good shepherd, the Bible says. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and this virus has got people with the valley of the shadow of death looming over people. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Because Jesus is with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalms 27:1 says this in the New Living Translation, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? He's my fortress tonight. Will you stand with me? He's my fortress tonight, church. The disciples turned to Jesus in the midst of the storm. You and I tonight, we need to turn our eyes towards the Master. If we keep our eyes on the Master, fear will back down. If we keep it on ourselves, fear will control us. But if we put our eyes on the Master, fear will bow before Jesus. Because you see, the rest of the story is that when the disciples went to get Jesus down in the boat and they woke him, he came up and he spoke to the wind and the waves. And you know what the wind and the waves did? They didn't howl, they didn't continue on, but they stopped immediately. Because he controls them. Because he contained them. Because he created them. And he's master. Fear has to bow before Jesus. When we speak that name above all names. No matter what the fear is in your life. It doesn't have to be the situation. It could be a lost loved one. It could be a financial need. Whatever fear brings into your life. It can bow. It will bow before Jesus Christ. We speak to fear in the name of Jesus and to obey. A couple more scriptures. Psalm 62:2 says, he alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and I will never be shaken. This old world can be shaken, but if we've got our fortress in Jesus, in the Lord, it will not be shaken. It can't be shaken. Psalms 91:1-3, the New Living Translation says this, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2 says, this I declare about the Lord. He above is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Church, you can trust him tonight. You can put your hand in his hand. And verse 3, listen to this. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. Church, this virus didn't catch God off the throne or on alert. He knows exactly what's going on. He's on the throne. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, Hebrews says. And he knows exactly what he's doing. How many of you tonight, if you bow your heads with me, Father, I thank you tonight, Lord, for this service. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for what you've done here today already. Lord, you're such a great God. Lord, I pray for these next couple minutes. Have your way. in Jesus' name. If your head bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder tonight if there's anybody in here and you've been facing fear. Fear has gripped you. Fear has taunted you. Fear has terrorized you, whatever it is tonight. I wonder if that's you, if you just come down here in front of these altars and we're just going to pray. We're just going to lift you up and we're going to lift it up to the Lord right now. Anybody, fear has gripped you, whatever situation, anybody tonight, as they're playing this song tonight, we're no longer a slave to fear. No longer a slave.
I am a child of God, for I'm no longer a slave to fear.
Amen. Anybody else tonight? Fear has to bow to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, no matter what it is, worry, anxiety, terror, you name it, financial uncertainty, the stock market's crazy, but we know the one that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Anybody else tonight?
To your family, thank God your blood flows through my veins. Every chain, to break every chain. there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. Oh, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. And I'm no longer slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. For I'm no longer slave to fear. Oh, child of God. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. So to break every chain, 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 to break every chain. And there's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, 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 to break every chain. And there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power to break every chain, 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 to break every child of God.
Brother Aaron, I just want to tell those you're dealing and struggling with fear. It was when the disciples was in the ship, it's when they was trying to row on their own, is when fear struck them. But when they committed their lives into the hands of Christ, they didn't have to worry no more. When we commit our lives unto Him and surrender all, we don't have to worry no more. How many knows that all of this stuff God's going to take care of? I believe what I said this morning, we need to be wise. We need to be smart. We need to be diligent. The Bible teaches that. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, it says, "But my God shall supply all the toilet paper you need, all the paper towels you need, all the Kleenexes, all the tuna you need." That's what it says. He shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. His inventory has not run out. If He can fix Elijah cherry pie and set it on the windowsill for the ravens to take to Him, He can take care of your needs. You love the Lord? Great job, Aaron. God bless you. Great day we've had in Christ. Great day we've had in Christ. Cindy?